So actually, the US FDA, the European EMA, the European Medicines Agency, and the World Health Organization, because of the importance of these drugs internationally, all put forth guidelines for how we define a biosimilar and how we could actually get a biosimilar into an approved state so that it could be used in clinical practice. Those guidelines are really important. So the first thing that's part of this is actually showing that through a whole bunch of different studies that are done in the laboratory, that the drug is the proposed biosimilar is relatively similar to the originator product. So for example, trastuzumab biosimilar, it has to be similar to trastuzumab, the originator product, biochemically. And then there are a lot of other tests that are done. For example, you could look at a number of different assays like cytotoxicity, antibody drug cytotoxicity assays, and a whole bunch of other assays looking at the amount of glycosylation, et cetera. As oncologists, I think that we have to trust that all of those assays have been done and have been evaluated very carefully by the regulatory agencies. They usually, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pages of data are submitted to the FDA and reviewed before a drug would actually even go on to the clinical stage of testing. So the next thing that has to happen actually is that you need to know that the drug is cleared normally. And one of the interesting factors has been if the originator product is made in Europe or the United States, you have to show that they're both identical and that they're similar to the proposed biosimilar. So you do studies in healthy people, healthy adults, and you generally show that the drug is cleared. The pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamic assays are similar. So all of that is before we see the drug as practicing oncologists. So the next thing that has to happen is that you have to show that there's clinical similarity. What our regulatory agencies wanted to avoid with these drugs is needing to recreate the entire wheel. So if you were thinking about, say, trastuzumab was tested in metastatic disease, then it moved to early stage disease and neoadjuvant setting. It was given in combination with different chemotherapy drugs, different antibodies, different oral agents. All sorts of different studies have been done with the antibody trastuzumab. So if you were looking at a biosimilar and you needed to reproduce all of those different studies, you would have a drug that, one, took forever to get to market, and two, cost as much, if not more, than the originator product, since it costs more to do everything today than it did 10 or 15 years ago. So if you think about an antibody, and these are the biosimilars of today, or a biologically created agent like filgrastim, we know that they work pretty much the same regardless of their partners or setting. So for example, we know that filgrastim can be given with any kind of chemotherapy treatment that causes low blood counts. It can be given to benign congenital neutropenia. It can be given for radiation-induced neutropenia, and it doesn't have any different effectiveness or toxicity depending on that setting. The same is true of trastuzumab. We know that it's highly effective in the metastatic setting. We know it's highly effective in the adjuvant, neoadjuvant settings, that it works in combination with a whole bunch of different chemotherapy drugs, oral agents, and with different HER2-targeted therapies without any pharmacokinetic or pharmacodynamic concerns.